going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Sources telling City News that the WNBA could announce a brand new team to play right here in Toronto.
Wait for it. Yes, I do know some of the excitement. I wait for it. Hopefully there'll be something later on.
Thank you so much for listening to the Going Deep podcast. And of late, we've been going deep on all things women's sports, specifically women's basketball. And that is going to be the genesis of our next conversation. And what a time to be a fan of the growth of the game for women. As I'm sure you saw by now, Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut against the Connecticut Sun. The game completely sold out. The first sellout for the Sun in 20-plus years. The cheapest ticket to get in the building was $110, six times more expensive than their next home game, which the cheapest ticket to get in is $17. And there's been lots of news around the WNBA specifically. Charter travel is now authorized, so the players can travel, well, like they were able to in college if they were playing at a Power 5 school. And don't want to bury the news. You know it by this point. A franchise is coming to Toronto. That news was broken by Shireen Ahmed of CBC, and I want to first give her her flowers for breaking massive news, but also figure out what it means for the landscape of sports in this country, for the WNBA, and is it a precursor for even more growth of women's sport right here in Canada? Let's go deep on Toronto and Canada getting a WNBA franchise. All right, no further ado. Someone who is not only giving us breaking news, she's doing it with critical acclaim and deserve like the biggest round of applause and all of the flowers, and deserves her name in print. Not no multiple reports. How about one report? How about one singular report from one person who's been on the beat for a minute, who tried to tell y'all it was going to happen. Then she told you when it did happen before they actually told you that it was going to happen. Shireen Ahmed, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Donovan. It's been a bit of a wild ride. So
I can imagine. So curious, on top of being both professionally proud and in a way professionally jealous that you're able to do such boss work and be a boss mama at the same time, because I'm not really sure. And I have less children and my children don't like me nearly as much as yours like you. But as I mentioned, this is something that you've been on for a minute, cultivating the story and then bringing it to fruition. That feeling feels like?
I think, oh, wow, that's really beautifully put. I wasn't ready for your bars. I really wasn't. It feels a little bit like surreal in a way, because when you're doing the work, you're doing the work. You know this as a journalist, you have the processes, you do this, you do the vetting. One of the scariest things I was ever told was, we're going to hold this story. We were ready to go on Wednesday, pretty much, Thursday rather. This is, we're going to hold it to 4 a.m. on Friday. So my anxiety was through the roof, and I'm trying really hard to be mindful and to be like, okay, let me be in this moment. I'm not in this moment, Donovan. I am like, when is it going to be 4 a.m.? That's what I'm doing. So I'm waking up every 15 minutes. And my husband, Mark, is like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And I will not be okay. So what I did learn about this process is, this newsroom beat is not for me, because I'm like, it's like everybody is on cocaine all the time. And I'm like, I just can't do it. It's crazy. Mad respect to fellow journalists who do this daily. Like, I was exhausted. I think it was also, I was afraid of getting scooped. I'm like, we're going to get scooped. Someone's going to come out at 10 p.m. on Thursday. We were ready to go with plan B, but it's like, when I woke up, I saw that at 5:30. I missed the 4 o'clock thing because I was so tired. I was already tweeted out. My friend Ben Steiner had already tweeted out the story. And I'm like, you know, these people who get up and run at 5 a.m., you got to always be wary of people who get up and run at 5 a.m. So it was out. So then there was relief. And then again, back on the grind all day. All day I was doing interviews and stuff and still have been. There's a lot of gratitude. I was able to spend a beautiful Mother's Day with my kids. So, but I was tired. I'm really grateful for being able to do it because one of the most meaningful comments has been like from young women in sports journalism or in media or women in the crew that are like, we're really glad it's you that actually broke this story. And that has always been meaningful to me. You know, and there's not a lot of us out here. So that's been really cool.
There certainly aren't. There are not a lot of us, and that's why I love the fact that whether it's your advocacy, your work behind the scenes that nobody sees, I love the fact that you have been lifting others up as you climb. When, first of all, I would have been like, wait, why are we waiting till 4 a.m.? Like, for what? For who? You can wait. I have these Twitter fingers right here. And you can do whatever you want on .ca, but this is mine. But you're a better employee than I am, clearly. But I think I imagine the emotion is twofold. One, this is a story I've worked hard. I've worked hard to be someone that can break the story that we trusted with this information. But also, like as a fan of the sport. Of the growth of the sport of the country. Like there has to be the other side of it where like you're so excited that this is a story to break.
Definitely. And the latter, like I covered the PWHL, the game in Scotiabank Arena. I will not lie and say there were tears in my eyes in the press box just to be able to see the growth of women's sport this way. I was at the exhibition game last year at Scotiabank Arena. Again, it was all women on that row with me, so that was like amazing. I think in a weird way it was like almost a coming home of sorts, because this is something that people ask me, could you have imagined 5 years ago? I'm like, no, and 15 years ago I couldn't have imagined it either. So the fact that I am here, I'm like soaking it up. I'm super grateful. Like there's a lot of gratitude around this because you know you don't do this alone. There's a team behind you and all the amazing stuff you do, Donovan. I know there's a team around you. And same with me, who very often don't get the flowers. And my editor hates it when I do this, but Pat Greer, you're a boss, and thanks for backing me up. And thank you for the team at CBC Sports. Like literally, I was like, what do you need? Because they knew I was anxious. And I was like, you know, you're stressed. You're right. Like it is. Why are we waiting a whole 24 hours, like 12 hours or whatever it was? And I remember telling my husband, I'm like, how am I going to get through the next 16 hours with this? Like, how am I going to do this? You know, I could watch the Bibling again, all of it, but I don't know if I want to do that. But and he certainly wouldn't have wanted to watch it with me. But like, you know, it's something, and I'm also really grateful for, because at this point in my career, to be able to do something so different, and like, I'm not on a breaking news beat, but like, you're right, that I was trusted in this space and in this orbit to be given this information. And, you know, for those that are out there in media and in journalism, you never know where your sources are going to come from, because mine didn't come from the sports realm. So like, to imagine that is, you meet people along the way, you know, this is something to tell people out there. You never know what your connections are going to bring you. You never know. So be nice to people, take their card or whatever, their QR code, and keep in touch, because like, you know, Toronto's not that big of a place, and neither is Canada when it comes to sports. So, you know, be nice.
It is not that big of a place, certainly when it comes to sports. And one of the things I was going to mention earlier, when you said you might have been scooped, which may have been true, it's the rules of engagement with this business, this industry. I talked to Elliot Friedman about that same fear that you had on this podcast before. But to me, the differentiator is, do you have the news and or do you have the context? And whether or not you are going to be scooped, what you had was context to put that news in perspective. Big piece of the context is, great, there's a team. Where are they going to play? Where are they going to play? And so that's, to me, the biggest takeaway, because I think this news is not just about the future of professional basketball in Canada or Toronto. It could be tied to the future of professional hockey in Canada or Toronto. It could be a step towards maybe a female-only facility for sports and training and development. The big question, and for some people a hurdle in the past of, great, team sounds nice, where are they going to play? That aspect of it, tell me about your reporting and hunting that information down.
Well, I mean, that's a part of the story, right? Like, where will they go? And particularly because this bid was not being put forth through MLSE, and we all know this, that they're not going to be necessarily playing at Scotiabank Arena. Like, you know, they might not. I don't know. The conversations about a WNBA team clearly didn't go well last time because, you know, Tannenbaum was outvoted by the rest of the board. So, you know, I didn't bank on the fact, like, there's, as you said, there's no guarantees. I had to get confirmed. I had to get sources, and we had multiple sources, like way more than two people corroborating the reporting, which was really important. And because of the fact that there was also questions about if it's 2026, we're a co-host city for FIFA 2026. What's that going to look like? They're going to be playing at BMO. What will that look like? All that traffic, there's construction on the Gardner. Like, what will it look like? Is this really going to happen? And then other pieces started to fall in. There was bits of information in my initial reporting. I was told that potentially it's a team that could go on the road across Canada, just the way there was exhibition games or season games in Canada that were sold out. That's one way, because I mean, you know, that's one way to avoid the traffic jams or whatnot or conflicts. So that was one thing that was brought forward. And I didn't actually state that last time because it couldn't be solidified, but like there's ways around games. There's ways around scheduling. And if you know enough ahead, hopefully the logistics teams can understand. But there's lots of other moving pieces. There are municipalities, there are like the bylaws. There's so many things that had to be done. So you're right when you say context. But in an emotional way, Donovan, I kind of am really happy that we just know we're getting a women's team. Like, I had a friend who texted me. She said, I don't care if they're playing in a barn in Guelph, we will all be there. And I want it to be big. Like, I think all of us want it to be big, and like you said, want this to grow. But I'm so pleased that it's finally here. I am so tired of having to explain to colleagues around the world that we only got a professional women's hockey league like January 1st. I'm embarrassed to say we don't have a domestic league in soccer that's coming 2025. You know, we don't have professional basketball beyond semi-professional, like Hoop Queens and, you know, that kind of thing. So it wasn't a good look for Canada either. And I think people are kind of missing that point too. Our women athletes have deserved better for a long time.
No question. One of the things that female athletes in the W now benefit from recently are chartered travel, and could be entirely coincidental or it could be meaningful, but one of, again, the historical barriers in terms of even entertaining a team in Canada was, listen, we can't even travel in the United States properly. You're going to take us across the border through customs. What's that going to look like? Does the fact that the league is at a place where they're are willing to invest $25 million in chartered travel make the international aspect of a team in Canada easier?
I think that came to my mind, first of all, was that, and it's a question that I asked the W, I asked the front office, I asked the comms team, but they're not going to confirm that there is an expansion team because the announcement is not supposed to come out. So they're not going to answer my questions about, hey, I'm connecting the dots between the charter flights and coming to Canada. I'm not going to say it was because of Canada. As we see Caitlin Clark getting harassed in airports and not being able to move around, there's a lot of pieces moving at the same time. I don't think it's one thing. I'm annoyed that Brittany Griner couldn't get it. And I think there's, you know, she was being harassed. There's a tremendous amount of homophobia and anti-blackness against women and players as well. Why couldn't those protections have been aborted? And that's something that Caitlin Clark did say when she was asked about it. And, you know, props to her for saying that this was something that was deserving of the women that came before. And so, yeah, I think it's a great thing. It will definitely facilitate logistics for the women to get here, particularly having to go through customs. Can you imagine standing in Terminal 1 at Pearson in a W? Like, that just, you know, shouldn't happen, and they shouldn't have to deal with that because they're here for a particular reason. They're here. They should avoid the crowds. They're superstars. They're generational talents among them. So the fact that they can have that comfort, and, you know, it's not going to be the same as the men, but can have something in terms of irrespectable treatment and professional treatment that they deserve. That is a good thing.
Certainly is. Kilmer Sports Group evidently determined to keep you busy, because this is not the only thing they have in the fire right now. What do you know about their interest, certainly the legacy that Larry Tannenbaum is looking to lead, but also how he's filling out that group with talented individuals to help get this done and maybe some other things in the sports landscape?
So, I mean, somebody was asking me about this, and there's a lot of rhetoric about, you know, somebody who believes in women's sports. Yeah, for sure. I mean, to take up this venture is really big. But at the bottom line, it's a solid investment, and he's a businessman. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's surrounding himself with the best people. Ivan Gazidis came from like clubs like Real Madrid, and his experience in Europe in football, and is in the middle of negotiating. I asked for comment about this, buying a second tier French club called Saint-Étienne in France. So clearly interested in investment around the world and for the Kilmer Sports Venture, not just here. So there are movements, there's all over the place. So in terms of but the impact here can't be understated. And this is one of the things that I think is really important, was that I got to give the man kudos for when the bid fell through last year, for going like, you know what, I'm going to do it myself. And then went forward, got Teresa Resch to come on board. And I remember when that happened, to be really honest with you, I remember finding out that she was leaving. And I made a joke to a friend and said, wouldn't it be so funny if she heads up a W team here? And then I stopped and we looked at each other and I was like, oh my God, she's gonna head up a W franchise. And literally, I think the next day I got a tip to confirm it. And I was like, wow. Like, the pieces, when you put them together and you connect the dots, and that's what I did, it made sense. So, you know, the rest of the team, I have no idea what it'll look like, what the name is. I have people calling me to ask me for season tickets. I'm like, come on. The story's been out for like 2 hours. I don't know. I like who's coaching. There's, you know, some excitement, but we also know that there's a lot of history in this country of women's basketball. We know this. We have powerful players here. Players meaning like people in the game, in the system, and who have participated. I really hope he gets some of those people too on board. You know what I mean? Like getting implants to come to Toronto. People fall in love with this city, for sure. But I think there's so much talent here. It would be really powerful to draw from that.
Teresa is a great day one employee. Huge loss for the Raptors. I don't even know if you can put what she has done in terms. Like, you can't put it on an org sheet, you can't come up with a title for it. The best description I gave someone once is she's Olivia Pope from Scandal. Like, just whatever the task is that needs to be done, she's gonna find a way to get it done. Like, short of obviously, you know, having people no longer be with us, but like, it's just someone who gets things done bar none, and does it with a smile on her face. I'm excited for the sports economy to be flooded with more jobs, specifically for, you know, a team led by women, and hopefully it creates more opportunities and more Teresas to come up. And we have, if we look across the landscape of these sports, where, if I'm being honest, Canadians succeeded in, maybe despite the infrastructure, not always because of it, and we're outliers. Now we have a little bit more infrastructure, but it'll look entirely differently. In basketball, the WNBA team, we have a Canadian franchise in essentially American League. In hockey, obviously, we have franchises that are balanced in terms of the original six being half Canadian, half American. And many of the executives for the league are right here in Canada. And then, you know, certainly in soccer, we're going to have our own domestic league. Different approaches. In your mind, will we see different outcomes based off of those different realities across those sports?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And the answer to that is essentially that not every sport will have a one solution answer, right? There's going to be different equations. And, you know, Toronto having an expansion team in the W makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense because Canada is so wide. You don't have the population that the US does. So perhaps having an expansion team of an already, you know, growingly successful league, a burgeoning league, would be better, like would make more sense. And, you know, the W has its own brand. Literally trying to get an orange hoodie is impossible in the city. They're sold out all the time. And as far as hockey goes, you're right. The original six, it's no mistake. They're in like the sort of the Northeast, right? Like they're all drivable markets. It's doable. It's one of the reasons I think it was intentionally done. You know, the league, I can't believe that the Women's Hockey League started on January 1st. Now when I go and I sit there and I cover a game, it's wild to me because it's so professionally done. Donovan, there is food in the media room. When is the last time I went to a women's game and got proper food? And people might scoff at that, but the reality is sports and how you treat your media and everybody in the orbit is a reflection of how you see it. And they're doing an incredibly professional job, and they have people that have been there since day one. They have day oneers from the CWHL, people that were with the Toronto team, and that's nothing to scoff at. So I do think it's really important that there's different solutions for different things, changes that different sports and sportswomen need. I'm really interested to find out. I'm really happy to hear Halifax will get a team for Project Aid in 2025 in the league. Calgary has a team, and this is really important because there are very specific cultures as well across Canada of sport. Like what women's ball looks like in Toronto is different than what it looks like in Montreal or Vancouver. So I'm hoping to see teams pop up all over the place. And also just to also amplify the existing, you know, semi-pro leagues. We got Hoop Queens in Toronto. They have the Maritime Women's Summer Basketball Association in Halifax. I've covered both of those things. And they have a different flavor. And they, too, are happy because the movement forward, you know, really will help amplify women's sports in general.
Certainly will. People are already discussing names, what the team should be named. I do not care. I call them the Laura Secords, call them the Viola Desmonds, call them whatever you want. Just call them
Laura Secords.
I'm just happy that we got a squad. I'm also happy because, you know, you've done such a great job telling these stories for such a long time. Both the uncomfortable conversations that we need to have, but also the joyful ones. And Joy Drop has been a place where people have gone for that need for levity and hope at times, or a laugh. I know you've got some bigger and interesting projects on the go, which I'm not going to force you to speak out because I'll let you break your own news. But I do want, though, for people to be excited and get ready to see you contribute to everything that CBC and CBCSports.ca has going on during the Olympics. A much important voice. So can you just give us like a little sneak peek on what we can expect from you then?
I do really appreciate you saying that about Joy Drop. You know, Joy Drop was my baby, and it was a really great way for me to reach out because, as you said, both you and I touch on critical issues in sport, whether it's race, whether it's gender, and in those systems of oppression that exist. And it's tough. So it was really nice to be able to like tell happy stories once in a while, like to share fun things, because I think one of the things about me and you know, I really do appreciate this about the higher ups at CBC Sports. They're like, you're actually really funny. Nobody knows that. You're really funny. And like, people think I'm this cantankerous person that's trying to, you know, kill all the fun. I am so fun, Donovan. Will you please tell people how fun I am? No, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice to share happiness. And I really love that. And so There'll be extensions of that, of course, moving forward. I will continue because I think it's my responsibility to continue to have tough conversations and they're uncomfortable. But I think as much as the landscape is also changing with women's sports, I think the conversations that people are having who consume sports, and you're an expert on this, they're getting more profound and they're getting more common. So that's hopeful for me. It makes me hopeful and it makes me proud to be in this industry because, like, you know, I'm a brown hijab wearing woman. I don't see a bunch of myself when I look at sports media. And so, but I can now, and I see other people in the younger generation, the youths, as they call them, coming up and giving me a lot of hope and a lot of pride in what we do, because I know you love what you do and I love what I do. So, and it's not easy all the time. So in terms of joy and some fun stuff in the Olympics, it'll be a continuation of that in some form. I'm going to shout out my husband, Mark Strong, because I think he's dope and he'll be doing some stuff too. So being able to be working the same space with him will be really fun for me. He and Jem, his broadcast partner, will be doing some really fun stuff. And the Olympics are really great. They're an interesting time. There's a lot to discuss. And so you'll see me definitely commenting on the stuff to discuss, because you know me, I like some disruption. So I'll be there.
It is wild to think that it's just 2 months away. We're almost there. Can't wait. So excited for you. So excited to consume your coverage. And so excited that this story that you broke had a bunch of joy and brought a bunch of joy and hope to Canadians. I'm looking forward to you breaking the news on which one of the outstanding Canadian ball players is willing to click up and come back to Canada. I mean, who's going to be the first call in the Avengers, where, you know, Kia is just getting everyone to come through and play for not just Team Canada in international play, but Team Canada in the W. That would be good to see. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to not only more of you as you continue to pave a way in the industry, but when you're watching a game in the future, being able to see that Canadian team and see a female hijab wearing player cross somebody up and drain a logo three. So all things that I know are coming. I just can't wait, because they can't come soon enough. You're helping us get there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much again to Shireen Ahmed, who's breaking great news, breaking some hearts from other journalists who wish they broke the news, but also giving us great perspective. For more of it, there's a couple things you need to do. Give her a follow at underscore Shireen Ahmed underscore Shireen Ahmed. And make sure you are going to CBC to get all of her great contributions, as she mentioned, and also giving a listen to the Burn It Down podcast. That's it for us. We'll have another edition on the weekend. But for now, on behalf of Lance and Show, I'm Donovan. Thanks for listening. Be sure to like, favorite, share, and subscribe. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.